Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is Professor Debbie Bradshaw, Chief Specialist Scientist at SARMC and looking at the Burden of Disease Research Unit. Debbie, a very, very good morning to you on this Blue Monday. How are you?
Good morning, Howard.
So, very, very disturbing, obviously, when we look at the fact that a record number of South Africans died in the first week of 2021. I mean, can we just say COVID and move on?
We can say COVID, but we certainly can't move on. I think, you know, it's a reminder to us that we're in the second wave, and every effort to protect oneself is critical. The social distancing and mask wearing and hand sanitizing. We're in the midst of the second wave.
Do you think we'll ever really know well, I guess we'll know the numbers in terms of the impact of COVID, but I noted, and I also track these things quite closely. I noted during the first wave that we had all of these, we had COVID deaths, but we also had additional other deaths. Now, whether that was because people had COVID and were undiagnosed, or they weren't attending to other chronic illnesses, and maybe were avoiding going to a hospital because of fear and all sorts of things. Do you think we'll ever, will you be able to ever quantify and break that down? And is it important that you do that?
It's very challenging for us in South Africa because unlike the UK or the US, for example, we're not yet able to access the information that doctors are writing on the death notification forms. At the time of death, a doctor needs to provide full medical information about the sequence of conditions that resulted in the death. And those forms are sealed for confidentiality, and they're taken to Home Affairs at the time of registration, but it's paper-based and it takes time for those forms to get sent through to Stats South Africa, who open them up and code it and compile the statistics. So they've released the 2017 data and they're busy working on the 2018. So the 2019 and 2020 forms are backed up. So we don't have that information. It's going to take us quite some time. And I think it is really important. So the MRC has been trying to urge government to really do some re-engineering of the system and make more use of digital platforms. And, you know, we need to set up the system so that the Department of Health can get access to that information quickly.
Yeah, because at a time when the world is going through a pandemic, and we've seen this all around the world, the ability to make a quick decision based on real-time information is something that leads to the saving of lives and the curtailment of spread. The more information we have, the quicker we can decide. For example, you know, if we weren't aware, and I'm just saying it as just a random thing, if we weren't aware initially that COVID-19 impacted on the older population more severely, we wouldn't have put in precautions to protect the elderly in the community. If that information is only coming to light years later, well, by then it could have had devastating effects. So this information surely needs to be real time in order to make relevant decisions.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we've been complaining about this since 2014 when the forms were made self-sealing and could not be shared with the Department of Health. And we highlighted that that's a group of researchers from the Burden of Disease Research Unit we highlighted that there needs to be a way for the Department of Health to get quick access to that information. And we were not heard until last year when you know, the reality set in and the need for it very quick information set in. So we are trying, we'll be setting up discussions again with Home Affairs and Health and StatsSA to try and see if something can be changed.
I'm chatting to Professor Debbie Bradshaw, Chief Specialist Scientist at the SAMRC. And we're talking about the fact that there were record numbers of South African deaths in the first week of 2021. Given your lack of and you're a scientist, so you can't do what the rest of us do, which is just take information and reach our own conclusions around it. The conclusions that you reach have got to be scientifically based. Given your lack of real data or the information that you really required, how then do you go about trying to figure this out?
So we've been through this before, you know, in the, when was it? In 2000, 20 years back, we started seeing the numbers of deaths rising very quickly and we didn't have access to reliable information about the cause. So we looked very closely at the age pattern and which ages were increasing. And that highlighted an HIV AIDS signature that allowed us to conclude that increase in deaths that we were seeing was HIV. We're doing the same now in that we're looking at the temporal trend, the trend over time in each province. And the fact that it's following so closely the COVID cases is allowing us to draw the conclusion that at least the bulk of those deaths are COVID. It's a disease that can people succumb quite quickly, some of them, before getting a result, before possibly even getting to hospital. And so we think that the numbers of confirmed COVID deaths are only catching the ones that happen in the hospitals, and that there must be deaths that are happening outside.
And we saw that last year where we had all of these unexplained deaths that ultimately were, I don't know if they were officially labeled COVID deaths or not. What happens with those if we don't know? Is it safe to make that assumption?
As I say, we're sort of looking at what explanations are plausible COVID is very much the plausible explanation for these excess deaths.
Sure.
But we're also doing a study at the moment with our Institute for Communicable Diseases, and we're linking data, linking the COVID test data with the death register to identify people who've died within 28 days, 4 weeks of a positive test, which we think this will help us fill in the gap. It's not conclusive. We know that there are people who die from COVID and people who die with COVID. They have become infected, but that's not actually the cause of death.
Yeah.
But we're not going to know for sure for a while.
We certainly aren't, but very frightening. And what we do know is that the number of deaths in South Africa is extremely high, and a record number of South Africans died in the first week of 2021. And what that really does tell us, as you opened the conversation with, is we have very, very clear information as to how to protect ourselves with non-pharmaceutical interventions or preventions, which is staying home if you possibly can, social or physical distancing, masks, and washing your hands. We know that these things work, and irrespective of the ultimate breakdown as to what is COVID and what isn't COVID, we know that this is very, very dangerous. The number of deaths are very high, and we actually can do something about it.
Yes. The second wave, I think, has taken us by surprise in that it's resulting in more people being infected than in the first. And I think the variant that has been identified in South Africa as being one that can transmit very more efficiently is explaining that.
Absolutely. It is. Unfortunately, that's where we leave it. Professor Debbie Bradshaw, Chief Specialist Scientist at the SAMRC, talking about the record number of South Africans that have died in the first week of 2021. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.